Today's gospel is from the 22nd chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 39, found on page 858 in your pew Bible. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the middle of a series called Sticky Faith. And sticky faith is hoping that all the things that God wants to give to us actually sticks to us. Because when we go through the hard times in our life, we need a faith that sticks. We don't need a faith that we easily forget about or that is not going to hold us through hard things. And today's topic is lament. We need sad songs. You see, practicing lament helps faith to stick. It's helping us get honest with our Lord and realizing that God is with us in our suffering. I'll reference a few songs. You may have not heard these, but I hope that they ring a bell to some of you. There's a song in a line by the Dave Matthews Band. The song is "Funny the Way It Is." And it says, "Funny the way it is when you think about it, somebody's heart is broken and it becomes your favorite song." You know, all the sad songs that you hear on the radio, the laments, I guess you can say, of breakups and hard things are someone's pain, aren't they? Those songs are written out of a painful place in a person's life. And thinking about some of the popular songs that have come out recently or in the last 10 years or so, first, Adele, a really amazing voice, and a lot of her songs actually are sad. I think of one of her songs called "Someone Like You," and just listen to these lyrics. "I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. And I hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me, it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Don't forget me, I beg. I remember you said, sometimes it lasts in love and sometimes it hurts instead." Painful song of a breakup when she isn't really there and she wishes it would have continued the relationship. We need sad songs. I was riding a bus home from working until closing at Bullwinkle's Pizza in Juneau, Alaska. I was a 20-year-old wandering soul, and I was trying to make enough money to be completely independent of my parents. We do those things, don't we? I got on the bus at 11 o'clock p.m., and the only other person on the bus was another young guy like me. He was visibly shaken, and he had a beatbox. You know what that is? A big boombox, okay? Before headphones, before, like, you know, people would carry around these big boxes to play music. And he was playing a cassette over and over. The song he was playing was "Open Arms" by Journey. "Lying beside you here in the dark, feeling your heartbeat with mine, softly you whisper, you're so sincere. How could our love be so blind? We sailed on together, we drifted apart, and here you are by my side. So now I come to you with open arms, nothing to hide. Believe what I say at this point, this boy is weeping." He's crying. He's pouring his heart out in this song because it just reminds him. It seemed like he had just, I didn't ask him, but it seemed like he had just broken up with his girlfriend. So here I am with open arms, hoping you'll see what your love means to me. Open arms. On Spotify, which is a source that I use to play music, it's fantastic. I thought you used to have like need CD collections or album collections to find all the songs you used once listened to, but they're all on Spotify. It's amazing. So you can find almost any song you used to love or like on Spotify. And on Spotify, both Adele's Someone Like You and Journey's Open Arms rank in the top five songs that people listen to from those artists. Those are sad songs. They're not happy songs. I think we all like happy songs, songs that put us in a good mood, but we need sad songs too. Because life is not all sunshine and roses, is it? Our God isn't Pollyanna. We don't need to put on a positive spin on every bad thing that happens. We can be honest and real with God. That's lament. Not only can we be honest and real with God, we need to be honest and real with God. Because God is with us in our suffering. That's the question that Job raises today. Job is a story that challenges us. That a person who is so righteous, and it says he was blameless, could have everything stripped away from him between some conversation with God and Satan, it just doesn't make sense to us. But the lesson, and that his life would somehow just become an object lesson, is troubling to us. Even though it does prove the point that a person who knows God will not fall away. Even when everything around him is taken away. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his reputation. There was always a belief in the Jewish community that when things happened to you, bad things, it was something you must have done. Like, this bad thing happened. Well, what did you do to deserve that? Jesus corrected that many times when he was on earth. He says that hard times are not always a direct result of sin. Now, given there are consequences to sinning, you break one of the commandments, you steal, you kill, you bear false witness, you covet. Those, if you get caught doing those things, at least the first ones, you can end up in jail. You steal or kill, right? And if you get caught, you'll be punished. If you commit adultery, if you bear false witness, if you covet, you can destroy a relationship and harm other people. But there's also so many things that happen to us that are not the direct result of sin. You get in a car wreck, even a very serious car wreck. It may not have been anything you did except for drive on the road. Maybe a sickness, or a child gets leukemia, or someone's born with a birth defect. Those things happen and they're not a direct result of anything. Suffering happens and we live in a broken world. And Jesus reminded us that it's not our role to judge and try to understand what God is up to or what's the mind of God in these situations. Instead, we're urged to trust God through the best and the worst of times, which is the theme in Job. Today's reading that you heard from Job is answering one of Job's three friends who came to comfort him, but what they did is try to analyze him and make him understand, what did you do that God did all this to you? And Job says, honestly, he didn't deserve such judgment. He says, God, I'd sure like to talk with you to find out what I did, but I can't even find you, God. I look east and west and north and south, and you're nowhere to be seen. His prayer is a prayer of lament. It's that kind of a prayer. And we might think of lament basically as a complaint, but it's much, much more than a complaint. A complaint sounds like whining, right? Like whine, whine, whine. I had a little girl a friend of ours had a little girl who's four, her name is Josie, who just turned 4 years old. And she was trying to tell her daughter that, you know, now that you're four, you don't need to whine anymore. You can just talk to us. You don't need to whine. And literally her answer was this, "But I like to whine." Whining. You know, her mother, like all of us, we don't like to hear people's whining and complaining and moaning. We'd rather just say, you know, just take that somewhere else. I don't really want to deal with this. But lament is different than whining. It's different than complaining. It's more. If you recall Psalm 13, which was read, it's an excellent example of a prayer of lament. David expresses dismay and frustration that God seems indifferent to his suffering. David's feeling of abandonment is not the result of a sin that he committed. It's rather he fears that his enemies will succeed in their plan to kill him. That psalm begins with a number of questions. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day of sorrow in my heart, how long will my enemy triumph over me? He even goes to the point of saying, Lord, give light to my eyes or I would rather sleep in death. He's despairing. He's frustrated. He brings, though, all of his feelings of abandonment and disappointment to God. He doesn't hold anything back. And then something quite amazing happens in this psalm. In verse 5, it says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." He reminds himself of the truth of God. In the psalm, it ends when he returns to the truth of how he knows who God is and who he is to be. It's maybe even just reminding himself of those truths. Even in the midst of feeling abandoned by God in the moment, his circumstances did not change. He didn't get airlifted out of the cave where he wrote the psalm and then get brought back onto the throne in verse 5. He's still in the cave. He's still in the situation that he was, but his attitude shifts to an attitude of remembering God. And notice his honest prayer, but also notice that he doesn't blame God for the problems he's facing. He's asking, "How long? I need you, God. I can't carry on without you." Remember, Jesus only commanded us to pray, but also not only commanded us to pray, but also to graciously be promised that he would hear our prayers. So when we mention our prayers, God is listening. He knows what's going on. And so no matter how weak our prayers are or how deep in frustration we are, Jesus gives us his grace as we pray. My dear mentor and pastor friend, my internship, I would often say, if you can mention it, you can manage it. And there's a lot of truth to that. If you can mention the pain that's going on in your life to God, it starts to be able to be managed, start to be able to be worked through. There's no greater model of faithful prayer than Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, and we know what he's going to face, crucifixion. He prays so much that even it feels the drops, his sweat becomes drops of blood. He's in such agony and distress. But his prayer that is so profound in that is saying, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Not what my will, but yours be done." Jesus knew that the cup of suffering that he must bear would be full of God's wrath for all people's sin. And in his true humanity, he's fully God, fully human, he experienced the dread of the thought of his impending suffering. So he prays, "Not my will, but yours." Jesus would gladly have been spared, should it be the Father's will. Yet he accepted God's will unconditionally. Lament is being honest with God and trusting that God can handle our honesty and our situation. And ultimately believe words like Romans 8:28, which says, And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. As painful as something is, as difficult as something is, God has this amazing ability to take that pain, that difficulty, that distress, and turn it into even something good. It does shape our character, right? It helps us, makes us stronger. So friends, we need some sad songs. Sad songs help us. We don't need to put on a positive spin on every bad thing that happens. We can be honest and real with God. That is lament. And not only can we be honest and real with God, we need to be honest and real. Because practicing lament helps our faith to stick. It assures us that God is with us in our suffering. And we can be honest with God and trust that God can handle our honesty and our situation. Michael Card shared a profound story about lament. True story that I want to end with today. Michael Card is a prolific songwriter and a musician. In the 1980s, he was early one on the Christian music scene. He was a Dove Award winner, and he was definitely one of my music heroes as he sang songs about scripture and integrated theology into his music, and it was amazing his ability to write. I met him around 2005 at a worship music or conference in Canada. He was speaking on using the Psalms for prayer. He shared a story of being betrayed severely by a friend of his, a Christian, who stole from him, took advantage of him, and because of that, they became completely estranged from one another. He was very angry, and he decided to take upon himself the practice of using the Psalms of Lament, or even the Psalms they think are called cursing Psalms. They get a lot more serious than Psalm 13, if you read them. There's some really invocative prayers. He used those to work through his anger and betrayal. Wherever he could, he would not just generically pray the psalm, but he would insert the name of his enemy right there in that psalm. Would you take this person and bash their baby's head against the stones? That's how serious it got. He did that for quite a while, and after several months, he started to feel better. He started to be able to let go of that anger and that betrayal and that hurt. And he said in his presentation that he actually got over it completely in about 3 months. But his wife was still plagued by the same frustration over a year later, because she wouldn't do that. She didn't feel that was proper to do that kind of prayer against an enemy. But what Michael Card did is honest prayer in action. That's lament. Gut-level honesty with God is a gift. And God knows everything about us anyway, so why would you not want to give to him? He doesn't run away from us when we're in pain. He gives us courage and strength to withstand all that the devil and every enemy would throw at us. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for these example of honest prayers. Keep us honest with you. Allow us to share with you our deepest and most hurtful things. Because when we can mention them, we can manage them. And we also see that as you've been faithful in the past, you will be faithful to us. This helps our faith to stick. It helps us remind ourselves that you are in charge. And in a way, we can also pray, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, this is a prayer of trust. And we thank you that you've given us not only the ability, but the experience that we can trust you in all things. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to mention just as a concluding remark too that walking through difficult times is really, really hard. And sometimes you need more than just going through it alone or even working on your own prayer life. You need someone who could walk that journey with you. In our church, we have what's called Stephen Ministers. And we have a number of about 7 or 8 Stephen Ministers right now who are available to enter into a caring relationship with you or someone you know. And they're experts at listening. They're really good at it. They're not going to judge you or tell you what to think. They want to just walk alongside you and help you. Today after church, as well as every Sunday, Stephen Ministers are available to pray for you. And if you'd like, if you have something that's really bothering you today, I would look for someone with one of these blue badges, says Stephen Minister, and just ask if they would pray for you, and they surely would. So they're going to be wandering around the room, or you can come up front and find someone to pray with. But whether it's a grief or a betrayal or an illness or just challenges of being a caregiver, a Stephen Minister can really help you. If you'd like to be connected with one, you can contact me or Don Wirth or Ruby Bjornholz. Thank you.